figure in front of you, at this point, turns to face directly at you, Perdicion. And there is a voice that comes out that is very clearly, like, artificial vocoder voice. And it says, "You have met the one named Gug, yes?"
Perdicion does his equivalent of quirking an eyebrow. See?
"You have traveled with Gug, yes?"
"Yes."
"Where is Gug now?"
"Your guess is as good as mine at this point."
"Do you have information on... Do you know of Gug's current..." And you can tell there's a pause. Like they're looking for a word. "Allies."
"Gug has a few friends in this place. If you are meaning to bring him harm, I would not try."
We mean Gug no harm. We do need information. Please enumerate your knowledge of Gug's allies."
"And why would I do this for you? I have no idea who you are and no reason to trust you."
There's a moment, and then the cloaked figure turns and looks back at Valencia. And Valencia takes a second and turns towards you and goes, "There's no harm. You should tell them. They are paying for the information."
"It sounds seriously like you're trying to get me to sell out Gug, who I consider currently a friend."
"No, we merely want Gug to be safe and to fulfill Gug's potential."
"Potential? What do you mean by this potential?"
"I have said enough. We mean Gug no harm."
"I'm not 100% certain of this, but... Valencia, you... And he switches to Colombian and he's like, "Valencia, this sounds like you're trying to profit off of my relationship with Gug, and that's kind of fucked."
She will reply in Colombian, There's no harm. Gug has a great life waiting for Gug. We might as well make some..." And they're going to come after Gug anyway. "We might as well make some money in the meantime, right?"
"That is not the way. I am taught to work with my companions and you know, fight evil where it stands. Now, I'm not saying that this is necessarily evil, but as I said also, it's not honorable. I'm not going to give these people any more information unless I can get assurance that Gug is going to be okay."
Okay. Let's talk this through." And she switches back to American to speak to this person. She says, What assurances can you give us that Gug will not come to harm? Gug or..." And she looks very pointedly at Perdicion, like, I'm trying. "Gug or Gug's allies, how can you guarantee their safety?" And the cloaked figure pauses momentarily. Says, "If Gug comes with us, we can guarantee no danger to anyone. We do not want violence, and we do not want to risk harming Gug."
Okay, quick aside, I actually need a little bit from Mike here. Has Gug intimated at all to Perdicion that he is on the run from anything?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Gug, how do we... What's the situation there?
I mean, I'm sure that Gug has overinflated whatever importance he may have, right? Like, or whatever importance Gug may have, right? So it's like, oh yeah, Gug has come here to save people, or like, yeah, I'm... Gug is a international Vernulian of mystery, right? Like, like the phrase chosen and or royalty or whatever has not been uttered.
Okay.
But definitely, like, it sounded like a bunch of hot air at the time. It probably still sounds like a bunch of hot air.
Right. Basically, Gug was saying Gug was destined for great things, but that their greater calling was to help people here on Earth. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yeah, like Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat. Like, you surely do not belong here, sir. Right? What does this guy do? Oh, he is a knife fighter from South America who specializes in killing people. What is this? He's an actor, right? Like, yeah, like, you know, Gug was like Robin Hooding. Like, oh yeah, I'm a great hero, and you know, anyone I help is clearly lucky to have had me help them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, think
surely none of this is real.
Yeah, I think for Dicion, like, hearing this is kind of... Gug is traveling with a few different people. Myself included, we were recently separated. I can show you where we were separated, but from there, I cannot say because I was trying to help some other people more in need out.
Where did you last see Gug?
And he'll give a vague description of the, of the flats, where they had fought the worm dog creatures.
Okay, yeah.
The Bruins, that's right.
The Bruins, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a pause, and then you can't tell if the cloaked figure is satisfied with this information, and then please tell us of Gug's allies. Who is around Gug?
Okay. Shit. Is he gonna... I think Perdicion's actually going to lie here, or attempt to lie.
Okay. Sure.
Because these people have given him no reason to trust them.
Yep.
So he does not feel a need to treat them. Because they're not acting honorably, he does not have to act with honor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try and roll persuasion, and then based on that, we'll play it out.
Okay. Yeah, give me that persuasion roll.
That's a 4.
All right. Okay. The cloaked figure is very hard to read. Mm-hmm. In terms of whether or not they buy it.
Yeah, so I think the way he describes it is that they're traveling with a fairy, that they are traveling with a knight, and that he was also traveling with them, and that they were doing some work for one of the organizations around here, and so that there are other magical beings that he is... working with.
Okay. You see Valencia out of the corner of your eye. She looks impressed with your half-truthiness, right? And sort of internally a little bit chuffed that she got Perdicion to tell a lie, essentially, right?
Right, and he's doing it, of course, in like the most dramatic way possible. Like, you have drugged this out of him, and he's like, "Woe is me! Now I have to, you know, betray my friends."
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, is the whole film crew hanging out around watching this too?
Oh, fuck! Of course they are. This is big. This is a big dramatic moment. So they have to do some film.
That is great. Yeah, so when you get that, after you've given that we've offered this information.
Yes.
And There's a long beat where the cloaked figure doesn't show any sort of reaction. And then Valencia chimes in, says, "Well, is that enough? This is... We told you what you came for." And the cloaked figure turns towards her and says, "Yes, for now, that is enough information. We will contact you again." And then it turns back towards Perdicion and says, "Thank you for your service." And then the whole mass, the cloaked figure doesn't turn around. It just sort of backs out of the parking lot, or towards the back end of the parking lot.
Sure.
Right? Is what you see. And you see like space, like you see light gravitationally lensing around the edges of this shape, right? As it moves away. But the image remains looking at Perdicion until it sort of disappears behind a wall at the far end. And Valencia says, "Well, that was fun. I told you that would be fun.
Next time you tell me. You tell me when we are doing something like this."
"Oh, you never would have. You're such a stick in the mud. You never would have come. It was better this way. Surprises are so much fun."
"There are times when surprises are good. This is not a good surprise."
"Ah, you need to lighten up." And she sort of slaps you on the back collegially with a fucking power armor hand, right? Like,
yeah.
There aren't very many people that, like, can make Perdicion stagger, but she gives you a pretty good, like, flunk.
Yeah, like, he does move a step forward, just like...
"Alright then, shall we?" And she takes her... She's got her suitcase and she's headed back towards the ATV.
Perdicion stalks back. His face is settled into kind of a glower. Because he does not feel good about this.
You get back in the ATV and she like turns on, I assume, some sort of MP3 player. Or I guess, because Rifts exists in the apocalypse that comes after the 90s, right? So it's like a laser disc player or something.
It's a tape deck, yeah. With a CD player attached to it.
And then...
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and she turns on Girls Just Want to Have Fun and cranks it, like, as loud as she can to hopefully hear it over the wind.
Pretty soon just cranks the wheel and whips out of the lot.
Sprays the camera with the camera team with gravel.
Oh no, the camera crew is in the truck bed and they're probably like flopping to one side as he's like wheeling the truck around.
Okay. And scene.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come back to the other Yahoos and sort of see if we can't come to a resolution here. The magenta Vernulian squares up with Goro, I think. I think it squares up with Goro, now that it's in here. Because Goro is gigantic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's a question that I think I want to ask Gug specifically. Gug, has Gug ever laughed in front of the other party members?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
I feel like I've laughed.
Yes. Yes. I was just trying to figure out, because this Vernulian is about to hit them with, like, the aha.
Some real JoJo vibes.
Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, a challenger appears, this is going to be fun kind of laugh, right? And I was trying to remember if, like, they remember Gug having done something similar, if this is going to be a whole new vibe for them.
I mean, Gug's not threatening in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Different laugh, kind of laugh, I think.
Alright. Yeah, he gives out one of these laughs, and Goro, you can hear the same thing the Tink heard outside. And you can feel it too, because you're in real close quarters, the three of you now. I guess Gug kind of is too, but Gug's maybe cooking out of here. there's a feel of like psionic capacitance, right? That the psionic equivalent of like the capacitor on one of those old wind up cameras charging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of this thing's tentacles is sheathed in like an even more somehow magenta cone, right? And it levels it at Goro. And it says something to you in Vernulian. What do you do?
Does the whatever the that's the, whatever the energy it's using, does that look very reminiscent of Gug's Psi Sword?
It does not.
Does not.
It does
so
not.
So it's some other energy based threat.
Yes.
Well, it's clearly not acting in good faith, so I think Goro would happily square off with this thing.
Awesome. Square off in what way? What are you? Because remember, you still have the cat cannon in one hand, and you have one of your swords in the other hand, and then I presume you are either holding the nerd in a third hand or the nerd has like crumpled to the floor.
Yeah, I think, shovel that guy off into a corner or something if he's like passed out from terror or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And draw a second sword at least.
Okay.
I don't know if Goro knows how to use whatever this cannon is. It's not really his thing.
That's he could use as a sword.
I'm sure the cat inside would appreciate that. Alright, you got two swords. Nerd has been hucked against a far wall.
Yeah, I imagine that he just tossed the cannon to another, like, away from the nerd, and would have drawn all three swords.
Awesome. Yeah, if you want to stab this guy, give me a fight.
Okay. We'll do the usual three sword attack.
Alright.
Rune sword first. That's an 8.
That'll hit.
It does 12 damage.
Like that. Does it have per...
AP 10.
Okay. So that will... That'll wound him one. You found some purchase there.
And then the Vibro Greatsword. That's a 17.
Sure.
With 17 AP 12.
All right. So here's what happens.
Poof.
God. All right. So you land that first cut with a... the first one was with the rune sword?
Yes.
So you land that first cut, and that first cut shinks into this guy. And you have not previously stabbed a Vernulian, no matter how much you wanted to at times. You have not done that.
Right.
But the flamenco music is going wild right now, right? In your head. And you cut in with that first one, and it, like, there's a moment where the rune sword sort of catches on some sort of telekinetic shield, and not unlike one you have seen Gug throw, right?
Okay.
But that pushes it sort of in this weird direction, and you bring that vibro sword down, and two things happen very, like, basically simultaneously. Number one, this thing's whole body shimmers, essentially quantum leap style, right?
Okay.
And that vibrosword bites down through one of its arms. Well, tentacles. And you cut that tentacle off, and the entire Vernulian, the rest of the Vernulian disappears. There's a distinct smell of ozone, and you have a tentacle flopping around on the ground with some kind of gear attached to it.
I think, assuming Gug is still in the room, Goro will look over and like, is this normal for your race?
I mean, it's not. I don't do that.
have not yet done that.
Just because you're polite.
You said there's some sort of gear still on this tentacle?
Yeah. This was the arm that was... this was the arm that was producing that sort of cone of energy.
Okay.
And there's, like, a band, like a coiled arm, like a coiled tentacle band, essentially, right? Like, it's probably 5 or 6 inches long, and it's like, all one piece of metal, question mark, that's been coiled together on this arm. And it looks like it might be psionically conductive, a piece of hardware. Without knowing more about Vernulian technology, it'd be hard for Gordon to tell.
Alright, can I pick it up and shake the tentacle out of it?
Absolutely, that's properly gross, yes.
Okay. I will do that. I don't know, maybe step on the tentacle if it's still flailing around.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, the Final Fantasy Get Scene music is playing in flamenco guitar in your head.
Hand this thing over, like, Gug, do you know what this is? This seems like it's more up your alley than mine.
Do I know what this is?
Give me some kind of roll, Gug. Like,
well, that did not go the way I hoped.
Yeah, that's a no. Yeah, no, Gug doesn't recognize.
Hey, you can re-roll it if you want.
How?
Yeah, we're getting close to the end. If you want to use, like, the one Benny you get for this game, because I can't remember how to give you another one. Now's a good time.
Yes, I would like to do that, but I've somehow managed to have... There's, like, a thing... I just press the button again. That's okay. Totally better.
That's a 4! Yay! With a 4, this is definitely a piece of, like, specialized Vernulian elites equipment. You remember... some of the people who used to, like, keep you out of trouble or incarcerated or however you want to talk about it, they used to wear this sort of thing, right? You were never allowed to touch it, but this is the kind of thing that Vernulian, elite Vernulian, you know, face tentaclers wear around.
Right, it's Vernulian military equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I tell Goro. It's
you are welcome to it. If this certainly seems like it would fit your anatomy much better than mine.
I don't know. That sword might make you grow tentacles. all right. So yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely gonna put that on.
Awesome. You put it on, and Gug, immediately when you put it on, there is a feeling of psychic interface between you and it.
Excellent.
And you get the immediate equivalent of, like, a psychic end user license that starts popping up. So you have to scroll through, get to the end of, not read it all. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I just click agree, right? Like, whatever.
Yeah, and we'll talk about what that does later. Yeah, so what's the plan for you three before we wrap for tonight? What is your goal from here?
I think Goro was kind of intending to try to talk to the Screaming Geek.
Alright.
To see if he could figure out why the giant monkey robot was sent to us in the first place.
Okay. What about Gug and Tink? Do you have feelings?
I think we should, like, figure out what this place is and what it's for, right? Like, that's clearly valuable somehow.
Okay.
It's got to be more than just a truck stop.
All right, Tink?
Well, that Vernulian that was bothering me appears to have gone away. I still think I hate that monkey thing. Sorry, gorilla thing. I'm going to go see what damage I can do to that now.
So just to make it clear to you, Tank, since you just got here, right?
Yep.
That nerd?
Yeah.
Is dressed like the people who, you know, did the stuff.
Hmm.
So I just want to let you know that. Before you start making choices.
Yeah, I still think I'm going to try and mess up the gorilla. Partly because I don't know how much I paid attention to what was happening in there. Is stopping the, like, messing with me. It's like, hey, whatever. Oh, yeah, I wanted to break that thing up because it sucks. A little war crime thing. Or at least personally made me angry.
Okay, cool. All right, so with those plans in place, we'll leave it there for next week. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool, cool. All right, well, thanks for playing, everybody. This was fun.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to get the band back together. We'll see how that works.
I'm sure it'll happen at some point, eventually.
At some point. All right, well, and thanks for those of you at home for listening. I hope you had as much fun as we did. And we will see you in the next one. Have a good night.
Thanks, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A. Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.